This podcast is sponsored by Hercules Strong Guard Tires. Visit HerculesTiresCommercial.com to learn more.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. The key is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we begin a Wednesday. Gary, what's happening?
Please call me. And somebody came up with this idea on Twitter I was discussing changing my name. We were talking about yesterday on the show, the very, very liberal talk host Leonard Larry, who goes by, you know, Charlemagne the God, and we were talking about the fact that maybe I should change my name to something that, you know, would
be hip.
Yeah, exactly.
That the kids would like.
Right.
Gary Mc.
Right, exactly, right. We didn't, you know, that was, we sort of, and so, you know, I like something that, my original thought was something like, that ended in Your Highness the Almighty, something like that, and that was sort of rejected. And then we got into my golf game and maybe something like that. And somebody on Twitter came up with the idea, just take the MC of my name. And then we were talking about, you know, maybe because of my great golf game, initially we said Tiger, and then it got to, you know, how I shank the ball.
Yeah.
And so a listener came up with the idea, MC Shanker.
There you go. I like that. Well, you know, there's a legendary guitarist, Michael Shanker, and since your middle name is Michael, you could be Shanker, his with an E. You could be Michael Shanker.
No, I guess you have to, like, it's got to be hip.
Yeah. Michael Shanker's hip?
No, MC.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think the rapper MC Donald, you think his career tanked because of the whole restaurant thing? I'm guessing it did.
Wasn't Bud Bundy, wasn't he a rapper?
Oh, the actor.
The actor,
he did. Yeah, he did a rap album, didn't he? I think he did.
He did a rap album, yeah. And then he was also on the, I forgot what his name was on the, on the show, but he pretended he was a rapper on the show in order to get women.
Right.
I can't remember what his name was.
Man, I love the early 90s. Go back and watch some of those shows. How baggy can your clothes possibly be? I was watching an old stand-up comedian long ago, and I'm like, wow, wearing oversized clothing. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
Here we go. What do we got?
Biden withdraws the large corporation vaccine mandate after the Supreme Court stay.
Yeah.
The Richmond Fed and inflation numbers, man, through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
College coach slams the NCAA for allowing the trans swimmer. You're now getting every single day somebody out. It's almost as if people are willing to challenge the, as we call it, the liberal wall of intimidation.
Right.
On a number of issues. It's about time, because they should have been challenging this over a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
A new report says Ukraine says the destabilization is all fueled by the Obama administration hysteria, not Russia.
You mean the current administration? Did you say Obama? You said Obama administration.
I meant Biden administration.
Yeah, okay.
I've written down here Biden administration.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know why I said Obama.
Yeah.
But driven by the Biden administration.
Because we all know who the real president is.
Somebody wrote to me that, you know, the real president's Obama. It's like, all right. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I think Obama would probably disagree.
Yeah.
I know his economist would.
Yes. No, it's not me. No.
Like, we wouldn't be this bad. But it's interesting. Russia's saying, look, this is all coming from the Biden administration.
Right.
And now Ukraine. So both sides now are saying, this is the Biden administration.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting. I don't remember the last time you had something like this.
Right.
We're being threatened with invasion. No, we're not. All the destabilization's coming from the people that are saying that Russia's going to invade.
Okay, what's interesting is other nations have been asked, are you going to be sending troops over? And a couple of other nations have said, we're still in the diplomacy stage. You know, we're not ready to deploy troops just yet. We're still, you know, talking, having discussions. And so when this story hit, I thought to myself, well, wait a minute. Are they making it, you know, this is okay. This is the problem. You mentioned this the other night. We have no idea and can't trust a thing out of this White House.
We have no idea at all. The other day they were talking about up to 8,000 troops,
right.
And then Biden came out yesterday and said, well, no combat troops. Well, what are you sending? The Army Corps of Engineers?
Right. Salvation Army.
It's like, what? I mean, just, and so you just, you can't, everything is such a cluster.
Yeah.
And we said this the other day, because they're asked a question, what do you think's going on? There I go, what do you think the Biden minister, or the Biden, good God. Is that a cross between the Obama and
it
Biden
is.
Administration? The Biden administration?
Yeah, you know
where did that
is.
Come from?
You know what that is. Michelle coming in. That's the other rumor.
The whole Biden administration.
Yeah. Now,
I don't even know if that's a Freudian slip or what that is. but as we said the other day, I said, you know, what would you suggest they do? And normally I could answer you on something of foreign policy and say, well, here's what we believe is going on. I cannot tell you what's going on.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know who I think could solve that whole thing with Russia and Ukraine? The Canadian truckers. Send a convoy over. Matt, have you seen the videos there? I don't have any confidence whatsoever in this administration.
No, no. Or you have no idea what their plan is, what they have done so far, what they have told. Good God. I need to start over again because I almost said the Soviet Union. What they have told, what they have told
right.
Russia, or, you know, what they have told Russia. The messages are all over the place as always. So we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Now, new questions about Fauci and gain of function.
Mm.
This comes from Brett Baer on Fox News yesterday. When did he, you know, what did he know and when did he know it early on?
Yeah,
we'll get to that. Pelosi says she will run again for the children.
Her great-great-grandchildren.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't believe that they have enough debt.
Uh-huh.
New polling on Democrats and the voting rights bill from last week. Did you see that from Rasmussen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
50% of likely voters did not want it passed. 32% did.
Yeah.
When you talk about 32%, you're talking about you're talking basically the radical left in this country.
Right.
And everybody else either was, well, I don't know what's in it, or no. But that's an 18-point difference. It was 50-42 on likely voters,
mm-hmm.
which means they couldn't sell that. And this goes back to Leonard Larry, Charlemagne the God, saying they're screaming that democracy is at peril, democracy, but they're not acting like it, and they're not governing like it.
No.
Well, yeah, because it's all BS, and the public feed. You know, it's when you decide to cry wolf so every single day on everything, eventually you have no credibility.
No, I mean, that's, you know, that's it. And I think right now, tell me who has clear messaging. Tell me where there is clear messaging right now. Tell me in this administration, tell me anybody on the left that has a stable message right
well,
now.
Well, I think one consistent message, at least over the last 48 hours, is that a consistent message from, you know, the White House and Democrats and the media that I saw is that Pete Ducey is a stupid
mm-hmm. SOB.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a consistent message, that would be the one thing.
Yeah, that's the first thing that Biden has said with conviction since he's been president, to be clear.
By the way, the left went nuts on that yesterday, and that was actually pretty funny
mm-hmm.
Because Ducey was like, I don't need an apology. Yeah. Look, I don't care. And the left was going crazy. Biden was justified to do it. I mean, they're defending him like, and Ducey's like, I don't care.
Well, and the whataboutism on, and I didn't watch the clip because I just couldn't. I'm still not 100% after COVID, and I wasn't going to watch a clip of The View. So there was a story about it, though, about The View going off. Well, but what about Trump? What about Trump? Trump's not president. And if Trump did it and you thought it was wrong, then you have to believe that it was wrong. And I don't remember him, by the way, doing that on an open mic, on a hot mic. Do you? Calling somebody a stupid SOB?
No.
Yeah. I mean, he might have done that during his inaugural speech. I'd have to go back and review it. But the whataboutism was everywhere with the far left yesterday. Oh, but Trump. He's not president anymore. And they're losing their minds because they don't have anything. They have zero defense for this president. And again, I stand by that. That's the first thing he has said with conviction since becoming president.
Yeah, but Ducey wasn't trying to play victim like Jim Acosta was.
No, Jim Acosta is still trying to play
victim. Yeah, Ducey was simply because
he doesn't care.
We read all the quotes. He goes, right. "I don't care."
Doesn't care.
He said, "I don't care what he calls me as long as it gets him talking." Basically, my job as a reporter is to get the president to talk,
and he did.
And if that's what he, you know, basically, he didn't say this, but what I got to. If that's what he thinks of me, well, so what? I don't care. I mean, if I'm a reporter and I'm asking challenging questions of somebody, I don't expect them to be my friend.
If I got under a president's skin that bad for him to respond that way, I've done my job.
Yeah. But the thing was, if you saw it, it wasn't even everybody was throwing questions. He just heard Ducey's. They're turning around, walking away. It really wasn't a part of the core of the press conference. They were all turning around, and it was the last-minute questions, and he just got ticked off. And I think, was it National Review that went through the three reporters in the last week that he's starting to take off on? And
yeah.
It says, here comes
yeah.
the real Biden now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here it comes. Now that they're like, okay, let Biden be Biden. Well, Biden is being Biden. And
well, that's the whole thing. I said it yesterday, is that it was, you know, They probably told him, look, we're not going to have you turn away from the podium anymore because the pictures, the endless pictures of your back turned on Americans is damaging. So stay at the podium until the media clears the room. That didn't work out too well. That's the problem, is that they don't know what to do with him. Go ahead and let Biden. That started right after. It was right about the first, right after the first of the year, right out of the shoot. Into January. Well, we're just going to let him. He's tired of having the reins on him or whatever it was. We're just going to let Biden be Biden. Oh, please make that happen. Here we are. Let him talk. Let's do a 2-hour press conference. Please. Man. I'd pay money to see that.
By the way, Acosta, during Monday's handover between his fill-in hosting gig and Don Lemon tonight.
That's bizarre. Mr. Victim.
Yeah. I still have...
Permanent victim.
CNN's Jim Acosta, I still have marks on my back from standing up to Trump.
Give me a break.
I never got an apology for... Ducey never asked for an apology.
Right.
Ducey said he doesn't care.
Right, and you shouldn't care.
Right. Ducey didn't say he was a victim.
Well, once again, it's got to be, you know, it's all about Acosta.
Yeah.
And all the other reports,
well, he's
finally.
Seriously, when you look at somebody, you think about this, and we've talked about this before with the CNN host. If you look at Acosta,
mm-hmm.
if you look at Don Lemon,
mm-hmm.
and if you look at
Chris Cuomo, well, oh wait, never right, mind, you can't.
No, but if you look at Chris Cuomo, who's gone, they're their emotional responses are extremely childlike.
Oh, they are. They are.
They're not adult. They're, right. They're not adult responses. Their childish emotional outburst is what you get.
No, no, they are. You're right.
And that was another one. I have lashes on my back.
Give me a break.
And you know, you had many conservatives bring up, oh, so you were a slave?
Mm.
Talking about basically being whipped and lashes.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, what a child. And it just shows you the victim mentality that exists.
If it weren't for Trump and Acosta's behavior when he was in the room with Trump, nobody would know who Jim Acosta is. That's where he made his mark, and it started before Trump was even sworn in. Remember, on the whole dossier story, that was Acosta in the room, and it wasn't a government room. They kicked him out. It was a campaign room from the Trump campaign during the transition. That's when he first got kicked out. So he made his bones by being a troll, and he's still a troll. And nothing more.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. We'll get into the Pelosi saying she's going to run again. If she runs again, odds are she's not going to be the Speaker of the House come November. Right. But is that another gift to Republicans? Just the fact that she's
to keep her in office? You mean just to have her in the House?
No. The fact that she's running again, because the mindset was that she would be done. And the fact is, she is running. She is the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And so this same old failed leadership is
what. Well, you know, what's interesting is that there was a story. It was while I was out that talked about, because there were the consensus then. And so this would go back, I don't know, sometime in the last couple of weeks, that the consensus has been that most believed Pelosi would not be back, that she would be gone, and that the old liberal leadership would be gone and new younger liberal leaders would take their place in the House. So Steny Hoyer, all of them would be gone. And then they in the article, it was like, but rumblings as of late on Capitol Hill say that even if Nancy is gone, some of the older guard still wants to stay. So Steny Hoyer, whoever, wants to stay for now. And they're basically campaigning to be able to keep their leadership positions. Well, if she's staying, okay, I don't know. Is it a gift to have her there, or would it be more of a gift to have, you know, members of the squad or you know, the younger?
That's my next question. Is the reason that she is staying, is that the alternative, even in a minority leadership, would be the fact that if she was gone and others decided, in the House leadership with the votes that they would be gone because they wanted to be bring in the new blood.
Right.
That Pelosi is staying and wants other leadership to stay because they're afraid of the fact that a minority leadership would even be more radical.
More radical and do more damage to the party long term.
And do more damage. So it's
that goes right along the lines of what this article is saying. That, you know, if it is that Nancy's not going to come back, then it's the rumor is that the rest of the old guard, the liberal guard in the House, wants to stay. They're campaigning to keep their leadership positions. Well, if it stepped up to the point of Nancy now saying, no, she's going to stay, which she is. I mean, that's what she announced yesterday. Then maybe that's exactly what's going on. They don't want those young liberals to rise to leadership positions in the House. Wow.
we're aware some listeners get a deer-in-the-headlights look from listening. Uh-huh. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So here I am just reading. This goes back to something that we talked about yesterday, and this was the polling specifically from the Civics poll, that you look at the numbers for Biden, and this goes all across the country because they break it down to every single state, and something that we just haven't seen before, which is 18 to 34 year olds are the demographic that least favor the Democratic president. It's something that isn't talked about at all. This is completely under the radar right now, where nobody's talking about, you know, where is he getting killed? And he's getting killed from 18 to 34 year olds right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what's really sinking the polls down to the super low numbers. If you look at it, the demographic that still supports Biden the most is 65 plus.
Yeah.
It's completely right. The opposite of what you expect from a Democratic president. And you and I spent a little bit of time talking about this yesterday. I mean, we have been talking for the last decade that the next generation coming, and this was back 10 years ago, those that were, you know, under 25 at that time seemed to be more conservative. You and I had a great discussion yesterday as to, because it's tough. You can't look at, it's very tough to look at a generation and or a certain demographic in a generation and say, why do they think the way that they think? You know, there's a lot of stereotypes out there. Well, you know, and anybody that is less than, younger than my generation, of course, is these lazy kids. Well, they're not all lazy. They're not all lazy. Is it a different generation? What's going on right now when we look at the Great Resignation, when we look at everything that's going on, when we see the impact of social media, where you have the freedom to discuss and do things like you never have before. And so we were delving yesterday into younger people and why they're not supporting Biden. Is it because they're sick of being lied to? You know, you and I've talked about it. We didn't get into this as much yesterday, but you think about social media, where everybody has, you know, their opportunity to say whatever they want.
Right, right.
And then they go to the college, and the college is clamping down. You either conform or you're out.
Right.
You're seeing it right now with these Ivy League swimmers afraid to come out publicly and state something that everybody knows is wrong. Everybody knows that biological men should not be competing with biological women. Mm-hmm. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it's completely unfair. But the liberal wall of intimidation has been so great. So here on one hand, on social media, they have all this incredible freedom where they can speak and do whatever they want. They go to the college campuses, boom, they're shut down. Where is that coming from? Is that coming from Republicans or is that coming from liberals that belong to the Democratic Party? It is exclusive to liberals in the Democratic Party. Is that not lost on them? Do they realize that's what's actually happening? Is that why you're seeing this shift? I went to John Nolte on Breitbart that talked about Harvard Harris poll was one of the last reputable pollsters giving Joe Biden a mid-40s approval rating. In their previous poll in January, Biden said it 45% approval with 51% disapproving, but their latest polling not only shows Biden's job approval rating upside down at 39% approval and 53% disapproval, the internals point to what I've been talking about for months, a political realignment. Democrats are not just staring down the face of a red wave in the upcoming November midterms. They are facing a generational shift against the lunacy and abject failure of their own extremism. And then he goes into the fact and talking about the fact that it's bad enough that the Democratic Party has delivered record inflation, open borders, record COVID infections and hospitalizations, which is going on right now, which people notice, whether it's their fault or not, it's the reality of what's happening, along with a spike in violent crime unseen since the 1970s. And he writes, but Democrats, along with their allies in the corporate media, Hollywood, big business and big tech, has spent the last few years trying to violate human nature now. While Americans are suffering through brutal gas prices, empty store shelves, anti-science COVID restrictions and the overall unease brought on by all of this, Democrats, in a million different ways, have shown they don't give a damn about everyday Americans. Instead, they're solely focused on comforting illegal immigrants,
yeah,
violent criminals, violent rioters, the radical extremists who want the pro-racist, critical race theory in schools, and biological men who claim to be women so that they can erase pretty much every single accomplishment held by an actual woman. I know many people are demoralized by these developments, but no matter how much the corporate media and social media attempt to gaslight Americans into thinking differently, this madness will not stand. A backlash that will realign politics for a generation is not only brewing, it's already begun. In 2021, Democrats lost in deep blue New Jersey, were wiped out in deep blue Virginia, and a Republican city attorney beat the Democrat in crazy blue Seattle. I'm sorry, but you cannot pervert human nature. You cannot pervert people's children. You cannot abuse people's children and remain a dominant political party. You just can't. And, you know, some points we I think have expanded it. And Nolte's a great writer. Nolte, you know, used to be with Daily Wire. He was with Shapiro for a while. And he's extremely blunt in the way that he writes. You and I have talked about in the general overall liberalism is going for, you know, since we've been together. And this is basically on the identity politics. And we know we have new listeners coming in every single day to the show. And so but it's something that we've talked about. And we hope that our normal listeners, our regular listeners, we don't have any normal listeners because we're not normal. And your listenership sort of reflects your type of personality. If we're not normal, they can't be normal.
I think you all know that.
Yeah, we don't want them to be normal, though.
No,
we prefer non-normal. But we've talked about identity politics, which is since we've been together and probably longer, that you can't have a political party that wants to divide.
There's no way to make that work as a strategy. They wanted to create, again, all along, they wanted to create more and more victims. Well, the more you do that and give every day, we said this for years, they give them another reason to wake up and be a victim for, again, a different reason, which means you're in a different subgroup than you were yesterday, which means that everybody that was in the other group is now the oppressor by default. And that's the problem, is that when you divide and continue to divide over and over and over again, trying to bring that group together and inspire them for one cause is impossible, again, by default. And they built this. You can't have them. They all have their. And this is what you saw during the 2020 election season, when Biden did come out of the basement, but liberals were talking about it. They try to appease. They try to appease every group, right? Remember the reporter that asked Biden, how many genders are there? Oh, that didn't go well. And you know why? Because there is no answer.
Right.
There is no answer that's going to satisfy that.
By the way, his answer was three.
He said three.
Wrong. Wrong.
But, you know, you could have said 58 and then you would still be wrong. But the whole idea.
Oh, by the way, he was wrong by science.
Standards.
No, he was wrong by science because there's only two. Yeah. And he was wrong by the liberal craziness.
By their standard,
which is, I don't know what it is now, how many they believe there are, 60, 70. There was 50, what, two?
58.
Okay, there was 58.
At one time.
There was 58, and all I remember is when the 58 number came out from Facebook, was it?
It was Facebook, yeah.
That was bad. We were in the other studio.
Yeah.
We were at the old ABC studios. We weren't even in these studios. So what's that, 4 or 5 years ago?
At least.
So he's way behind. So when you look at the shift here, we've always believed that you cannot have a political party if your goal is not to unite.
Right.
We have always stated to politicians, you have to be blunt in what you believe, but your goal always has to be to bring more people in, not just to, you know, solidify your base.
Right.
You try to solidify your base if your politics are extremely radical.
Yeah.
But if your politics are not extremely radical, and I don't believe conservative policies, and we've said this for years, when you and I talk about when people come up to us and go, you guys really believe what you say? Well, yeah, what's radical with what we say? Tell us one thing, as we have said, well, you guys are radical, you're controversial. And we'll say, where? Give us one specific idea of where we are radical in the slightest. And you can't.
No.
You can't.
No.
But being promoting things that are just common sense, things that are viewed as mainstream now, are considered by the media as completely and totally radical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure.
And so, but when you try to divide, when your whole thing is victim and oppressor, victim and oppressor, victim and oppressor, then you get to the point where everybody is your oppressor. And if you're a new listener to the show, when AOC got elected and just, you know, basically said, you know, nobody's the boss, I'm the boss, we said, there you go, right.
That's
there.
It.
She was the logical conclusion of where liberalism was going. I am a victim of everybody. I'm a victim of Democrats.
Right.
I'm a victim of anybody that doesn't agree with me. Well, when you get to that point as a political party, where do you unite?
How do you bring people together for one cause?
And
how do you do that?
And so that's always been a problem. But now they can't sell anything. The Democrats can't sell anything.
Well, because if you look at the effect of the agenda, again, we go back to the reality of everything hitting. You know, the abstract versus reality. Talking all the ideas for years and years and years, then all of a sudden you put it into policy. You know, the liberals wanted to spend and spend and spend and spend, and yes, we know the Republicans do too. But liberals have always outspent the Republicans by far, and now here we are. What is the result? Massive inflation, and people have put those together, and so the reality hits, and they look at it and say, "Wait a minute, what are we doing here?" When you have a liberal like Leonard Larry, Charlemagne the God, saying that Biden made all these promises, and look where we are. I have friends saying we want Trump back. For him to say that, I don't even care if it's true. For him to say that is a big, big deal. If I were a strategist for the Democrats and I heard that, I'd think about another job. I'd actually think about quitting, because there is no the problem is you can't fix this. You can't undo the indoctrination from generations ago and then tell people they've got to start thinking differently and this was wrong from the beginning. That's never going to happen. It isn't.
But when you have, after last week, the Rasmussen latest polling, 50% of voters think the defeat of the Democratic election reform bill was a good thing. 32% disagree. The rest were, well, we don't know. They didn't know. That's a landslide numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they, how much did they pound that democracy was going to end? It was going to be destroyed. That 32% that disagree shows that the only people that agree with it is really the radical left
radical
of the Democratic
left.
Party. They didn't convince any independents whatsoever.
Nope.
They're viewed as crying wolf, and they're viewing as wanting to change things. And the other thing is that the independents have figured out they're lying about everything.
Right.
They want major changes in the government and in the Constitution. They know they can't get it if they tell the truth, so they lie.
Right.
So if you divide and you lie, where's your future as a party?
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Wow. You know, we talk about inflation, another report coming out from the Richmond Fed yesterday. We'll get to that. And I say, wow, not in a good way. Not in a good way at all. So we will get, you know, to that. The latest on Dr. Fauci in the report, This is from Brett Baer. And, you know, now saying what's the timeline. What did Fauci know and when did he know it when it comes to gain of function? And this is based on emails that they had come out with. And also Fox News witnessed the federal government mass releasing of single adult illegal immigrants, almost all men, in Brownsville, Texas. Expect that that's going to boom again this year. Expect now that, you know, since, you know, we're, you know, the warmer weather is coming. The Biden administration hasn't changed, you know, what they believe at the border. Expect that that's going to be huge this year, and expect a continuation. I started seeing it in social media yesterday, something that we said. Biden never cared about COVID. Otherwise, you would have locked down the southern border.
Oh, yeah.
He never did.
Right.
This hour's news is brought to you by Travel Centers of America, home of World Blends Coffee, the freshest roast on the road.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the entire world, we are Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream live, or you can download our app today and listen whenever you want. Listen now, listen tomorrow morning sometime.
Yeah, and thank you.
Yeah, our podcast of the show is usually up by like 7 o'clock.
We love our podcast listeners. Thank you so much.
Yes. Welcome to those listening in the future.
Yes. I told you we're doomed, and they know that now. I mean, well, which isn't now. It's the future, but it's there now.
I find the discussion that we started yesterday that we had not planned, and it was just as we were going through some of the polling out there, and again, we've mentioned it before, but we still think it's the biggest political, one of the biggest political stories out there, as to extrapolate out where we're going, not only in elections in the future, but society as a whole.
Yeah, right,
because right. when you see, and I just find it so interesting that when you see that young people, this massive shift, and I don't know, the media is not covering it. And yeah. So you look back and you say, okay, when was the polling this low for a Democrat president? Not from people that are 65 or above, mm-hmm. not from people that are 50 and above,
mm-hmm.
not even, and of course not Democrats, but 18 to 34 years of age, where they have completely abandoned a Democrat president. A year into his term as president of the United States. And so we ask the question, is it just his personality? Is there a societal shift? Is this a generation? And they're all questions because it's tough to come up with an answer. I mean, maybe you could a pollster or a researcher go and do massive polling. Nobody has done that yet on young people, though.
Right.
And you'd be able to come up with some type of answers for it. Meanwhile, yeah, the best that we have are the questions of how far does this go and why is it happening?
Right.
And we're bringing up when we bring up these scenarios, they're possible scenarios as to where young people are going. I know some young people are going there. I can't look at the entire demographic and say I don't have the evidence to say this is what's happening there.
Well, you know, one of the things that we should, you know, remember is that if you say this out loud, I think it's important to put this in perspective. A year after Trump is out of office, the approval numbers for the president of the United States are even lower. Think about that. I mean, from a liberal standpoint of how much hatred that was thrown at Trump. Think about that. From a liberal's perspective, the hatred for Trump is how Biden got into office. People didn't vote for Biden. They voted against Trump. And a year later, it's even worse. I mean, it was there because think about this. Remember the hardcore liberals that stayed in bed for 3 days. I couldn't get up in 2016 after Election Day. I was so deeply depressed because Trump had won. And Biden wins in 2020. Sworn in January of 21. And a year later, the approval numbers for that office are even lower.
Well, when you see that young people who traditionally, in modern political history, have gone with the Democrats.
Right.
By extremely large margins. And you see that Biden's number with 18 to 34, as we brought up to you in the show yesterday, is lower than Trump's ever was with young people.
Right.
I mean, that
right.
is yeah. that is just huge. So you do look at it and you say you look at everything that's been going on from, you know, young people being told that they're racist, you know, because of their skin color. When you
right.
see
right.
the segregation going on in college campuses or the push to segregate. The push to stereotype, to segregate, to have a blue wall of intimidation telling young people that can go on social media and basically say whatever they want. They have this incredible freedom. As we have said, everybody can do their own talk show. Everybody can have their own editorial every single day on social media. They can do that if they want. They know that freedom exists out there, and they go to their college. They go to their college campus, and boom. Everything is shut down. You must abide by things that they clearly know are false. And so you and I have always asked this question. With young people, then I believe it's the natural instinct of young people to rebel in a way from their parents. You want to be on your own. That's part of the rebellion. You don't want to be told what to do. And so as you're rebelling, you go to college. And for us, when we went to college, it was anything goes. I remember going into college campuses. I've told my stories before. And you go in and you had the Lyndon LaRouche party, the workers' party, the socialist workers' party with all of their conspiracy theories in middle of the student union. And you have liberal kids, conservative kids, populist kids all screaming at each other. You think that happens today?
No, not unless the one conservative on the campus walks by. they're all screaming at that person.
So you have this thing where kids are being told that you judge people by skin color. They know that's not true. Young people know that's not true. Young people get along. As I said, our society gets along extremely well.
Yeah, right.
People get along extremely well with each other.
Yeah.
And you're being told every day, no, you don't. And your skin color defines what you are. And by the way, boys should be able to, biological men should be able to compete with women.
Mm-hmm.
There are a ton of women out there right now. We see it. We see it with the swimmers. They're afraid. They're so intimidated that their entire lives will be destroyed because this is what liberalism teaches them, that you can't speak out on this, and everybody in every Ivy League college knows it's a load of crap. Every one of them does. Well, they all know it. They are so afraid to do anything. You don't think there's going to be repercussions? You don't believe that there is a safety valve where people are going to say, I can't fight here, but I'm going to fight over here with my vote?
Well, this is the problem that they have, is that the reality hits, because eventually it comes back around, right? You know, we always think about the man on the street type reporter talking to people, you know, and if you were to do that on a campus and get the, you know, well, do you think it's okay? Then when we talked identities, there was the I forget who which website did it, send someone out to talk to people. What if I want to identify as an 85-year-old man from China? You know, well, yeah, maybe. The idea is that you heard that nervous laughter. Where does that come from? The intimidation that they get from the real, from the people who are saying you must conform, the far left that tells them that. The problem with that is that if that kind of anger and control, fascism, really, at that level, has people completely worn out, I believe, completely worn out, but it was eventually going to, the problem was, even if they weren't, you know, fatigued by it, it was going to come back around to you, which meant at some point, they're going to tell you what you're doing wrong, liberal circular firing squad. So if you're nodding your head to go along, you're going along to get along, eventually it's coming around to you. And if you don't believe me, go ask Bill Maher, go ask Dave Chappelle, go ask some of the other liberals that are out there that say, enough. We're done with this kind of behavior. And then they take it one further. Of course, they're going to implement it as policy in schools. And the mothers and fathers of daughters stand up and say, no, you're not.
Now, I'll tell you this. The one difference between our generation and the generation right now. Now, again, we weren't brainwashed consistently from the time that we were young. We would have never put up with this crap. On college campuses, there would have been a revolution if you said biological boys get to play sports with biological women.
Yeah.
If you sat there and you were attempting to teach critical race theory, that and I'm telling you, my minority friends, my white friends, gender would matter. Everybody would be protesting about this, and there would be people sitting at the college president's door saying, "This crap stops now."
No, imagine,
that's the one. But yeah. But we didn't. We were brought up.
Yeah,
I was brought up that you know you speak your mind, and the more that they attempted to threaten us, if they would have attempted to threaten us, the more we would have fought back.
Imagine that in '76. Bruce Jenner became Caitlyn and said, I want to compete as a woman. That wouldn't have happened. There is no way that would have happened.
Oh, let's give Caitlyn credit, though. Caitlyn's been out there every single day the last week saying this is a load of crap. What's going on?
Oh, sure, sure. But I'm talking about, you know, because of that at that time, that's when Bruce was an athlete.
Right.
And so that wouldn't have been allowed. No, that wouldn't have happened. Because, and think about it, at that point, you know, Title IX was still rather new. The victory from Title IX was still being felt. Well, the far left doesn't care about Title IX. The far left doesn't care about the Civil Rights Act.
No, they don't.
Because if you can belong to any protected class simply by saying so, there are no protected classes, period. End of story.
The difference in our generation, though, is we weren't in elementary school, in junior high school, in high school.
Right.
We weren't, you know, the critical race theory, the liberal transgender activist movement that has existed, by the way, because you and I have been talking about it since we've been on the air together.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about way over 10 years it's been happening. So you've got a generation of people in college well into their 20s. That have been part of this brainwashing, and eventually they're in the real world waking up and saying, this is a load of crap that's going on. I believe that's part of what's going on here with the younger generation, and you see this unprecedented move away from a Democrat president who is extremely radical and promoting all of these ideas that we just talked about right now, and in fact is out there lying consistently about race. He's a race baiter. He acts like a leader of a hate group promoting the Georgia election law as something that is Jim Crow. Think about this. It's Jim Crow. It's wrong. You're a segregationist if you believe in it. And the poll shows the vast majority of Americans are happy.
Yeah.
The well, a 50% of Americans believe that are happy that the voting rights bill didn't pass. 32% are unhappy. The other 18% are, we don't know. But that's a landslide number of people believe that what they were being sold, and that means the majority of independents look at this and say, that's a load of horse manure that you're attempting to sell us. Mm-hmm. So when you see this, what is the societal change and political change coming up if the young people have rejected the fascist liberalism that exists today? And they're going to fight by who they vote for. They may not be willing to do it. They're coming out now anonymously, but they're still afraid to do it on college campuses because they believe their lives will be destroyed by liberals if they speak what they know the truth is.
Well, and could we be seeing right now the beginning of the end of that kind of protester? Because what was it just a year and a half ago? Silence is violence. Shouting in your face when you're sitting there at a restaurant because you're not standing up. You're not angry. How dare you not be angry? Silence is violence. I suspect the next generation is done with that kind of... And by the way, that's not the majority of people. But you're not going to get your way with that kind of behavior.
Right.
That's not going to be tolerated.
Well, that's a great point, though. You've been backed into a corner.
Yeah.
You can't speak, and if you don't speak, then you're also complicit, and so finally you have no choice to speak up and say, I'm not going to put up with this any longer.
And when you do stand up, even if you showed up, sorry, you're not loud enough because you can't appease the far left. It's not possible.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on sleep apnea, risk factors for sleep apnea. Research has shown that 28% of commercial drivers suffer from some degree of sleep apnea. So how do you know if you're at risk of developing sleep apnea? There are several risk factors. First, there are some factors that you have no control over, such as family history, age, and race. If you have family members with sleep apnea, you may be more likely to develop it at some point. While you can start having sleep apnea at any age, it becomes more common the older you get. And in the United States, people of Hispanic, Black, or Native American descent are more likely to have sleep apnea than whites. Fortunately, you do have some control over your risk of developing sleep apnea. Unhealthy lifestyle habits like smoking, being overweight, and drinking alcohol can all increase your odds of developing sleep apnea. Making healthy changes could keep you from ever having problems with sleep apnea. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by National Truck Protection and Premium 2000 Plus, the number one selling aftermarket truck warranties in North America. Available at thousands of used truck dealers everywhere.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So based on what we see just in, again, it's only the one poll. It's a consistent poll. It's been around for a long, long time, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around all through the Trump administration. So it's a pollster, civics polling, that has been doing it for the longest time. And the detail is great. By the way, just so if anybody ever wants to look at it yourself, it's civics, C-I-V-I-G-S.
Q.
Oh, what I say?
G.
G. Okay. C-I-V-I-Q-S. Yes. Mm-hmm. Civics poll. Just put it into Google. It comes up, Biden job approval numbers. And you can go back and look at Trump's approval numbers also and disapproval numbers, you know, all the way through his entire presidency. So it's just a great tool to look at. Be careful, though. You don't look at any one poll as gospel truth.
Well,
it gives you just an indication of where things are going. But if you see during the Trump administration, it was extremely consistent. You did not see
you
and by the way, you can look at the entire graph for the 4 years and say, oh, well, let me compare it to Biden's, and Biden's, you go, whoa, what a roller coaster that is. But the roller coaster is going strictly one way.
We look at the movement and in a poll. Okay, so any given pollster We want to know. And by the way, the one thing about civics is that it is a daily poll. And so you can look at the movement and, in this case, the erosion of the approval numbers. And by the way, yesterday we were mentioning, and I said in Maryland it's tied 43-43. And yesterday they had the 43 approval number side highlighted as blue, which would indicate he is above water in that state. Today they don't. Maybe they go back and forth because it's still 43-43, but he's only above water in three states right now. Three. That's unbelievable. Yeah.
Taking your calls now. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. If you would like to get in, let's go to Steve in Louisville. We were talking about young people not supporting, according to the civics poll at all, some of the lowest numbers we've ever seen for a Democratic president from people 18 to 34 years of age. Let's go to Steve. Hi, Steve. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, thank you guys, man, for staying up all night with us. I just wanted to weigh in on the whole Leah Thompson or whatever.
Leah Thomas.
His or her name is, the swimmer.
Yeah.
I love this whole controversy simply for the fact they can't have it both ways. The stand-up, you know, everybody's like, why don't these girls stand up and say he can't swim with them? No, stand up at the forefront and say you're not a girl. If you're going to let him be a girl, then he gets to kick your ass in the swimming pool, period.
Well,
you need to stand up. The stand-up comes at the front of this argument, not the back.
Actually, I would disagree. If someone wants to live their life the way they want to live their life, that's fine. You want to change people's rights because somebody says so. Now I've got a problem. I don't care how someone lives their life.
No, he's stating that the swimmers have to stand up publicly.
Well, are you saying they have to stand up against this person living as a woman?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's where this whole argument has gone wrong. You know, I get, okay, these girls are scared that maybe they may lose a job later in life because it's not politically correct to stand up against this guy. Where our society's gone wrong, and you know I'm right, and I know you may have to toe that line.
Well, no, I'm not.
Whoa.
We don't toe any lines.
We don't toe any lines.
We don't toe any lines.
Stop that.
So here's what I'd say, and maybe I need to clarify here. I don't have to say that is a woman, that person is a woman, that is a man who wants to live as a woman, that's a biological male, and those are the facts. So if that's what you're saying, and you are against the movement saying, well, no, we need to say that's a woman, or that person is a woman, then I would agree with you. But in terms of somebody, how somebody lives their life, I don't care how they live their life, but they're not going to force me to talk, whether it's a pronoun or any other type of language. So if that's what you're saying, the language that we use and people forcing you to use a language, then I would agree with you.
Well, I agree. I'm with everything you just said. Okay, what I'm saying is if you want to stand up against this, you need to stop it where it starts. No, you're not a woman, so therefore you will not swim against
us.
Right. Well, you can't win the argument if you don't, because that's the argument. The argument is you're not a biological woman.
Exactly. If it starts there,
right?
If
well, then we have
starts,
no disagreement.
Yeah. There's no disagreement there.
No, we have no disagreement.
Where
we are now in our society is kids with their head down looking at that phone, believing everything they see on it, And this guy has gone in there and taken advantage of it. Oh, okay. He swam 3 years as a man. Wasn't the great, wasn't Mike Phelps, but he was a swimmer.
Right, right,
right.
Yeah. Then he goes in there, and the women's side, be the same way in the WNBA. You know, if LeBron went to the WNBA and played basketball.
Yeah,
right,
can't
right.
Do that.
No, it's wrong, and as we have said, eventually the women swimmers have to. I mean, they're
thanks,
doing
Steve.
It. They're doing it anonymously, but yeah. they eventually have to come out, I believe. And be, you know, be willing to risk to do it. As we have stated, though, you're coming from a generation that's been brainwashed and been intimidated since they've been in elementary school.
Well, even there is to the point that in California, at least for a while, they had a law on the pronouns. And remember, in New York, they were going to fine your business if you didn't use the preferred pronoun.
Right.
I mean, this is the liberal movement forcing you to talk a certain way, and no, you don't get to do that to anybody. Freedom of speech is very much still alive.
The California law that the Supreme Court overturned,
mm-hmm.
You could be jailed.
You could go to jail for that.
Using the wrong
government
pronoun.
Could punish you,
yes,
for how you
right.
talked.
And so these are kids that have been told that if you don't toe the line,
yeah.
This could affect your career. They've been brainwashed since a very young age, and that's what we were talking about,
mm-hmm.
the fact of probably part of the revolution that you're seeing right now, why Biden has such incredibly low numbers, is the fact that Biden is parroting what the liberals have been throwing out, from gender to critical race theory, all the things that are
yep.
so radical
right.
that are really perverse to the reality of human existence. And they've been told, they know it's wrong, but they've been told if you speak up, we'll destroy your life. As I stated, when we went to college, if you threw that threat at me, that means I'm going to come back at you 10 times as hard, because I'm going to do everything possible to let the, you know, everyone know that you are a fascist.
Yeah.
And you are the one that needs to be eliminated from our society.
Yep.
Not life-wise. opinion-wise, your opinion must be eliminated because you're the fascist.
Well, this is the point. It's the actions of the left. The fact that it got to that point in California, even though it was overturned, it got to that point that the government, the state government, could punish you for
right.
something you said.
And by the way, the opinion that I wish to eliminate is that you can't speak or you're destroyed.
Yes, I mean, that
right. That,
exactly.
That's,
that, well,
just,
because,
I want to be very clear what
well,
I mean.
Well, that opinion put into action.
Yes.
By the way, if you want to say that, that's one thing. But when it gets to the point, and this is the problem, and I think this is the point Steve was making, is that once you go along and say that, okay, we're all going to speak the same language, you get to a point where a state like California says that we will punish you for not going along with it. That's the problem. That's how it starts.
Yeah. In an interview Friday, Rice, swim coach Seth Houston, blasted the NCAA and the University of Pennsylvania for allowing transgender swimmer Leah Thomas to compete as a woman. Houston told Swim Swam, which must be a swimming magazine, that it was black and white. The allowing Thomas to compete as a woman is entirely unfair, and blasted the NCAA for its gutless handling of the situation. The NCAA once again has proven that it is not leading. It is not even following. He said on January 21st, the NCAA governance has become a bystander waiting for other organizations to make the tough decision. They hope that the NIL would continue to be suppressed, and now they are scrambling to make it fit their construct. Now they sit on the sidelines with transgender issues. Houston, who has been head coach of Rice for 19 years, added that he sees no issue with Thomas competing as a college swimmer, but not in the women's division.
Yeah.
I respect Leah Thomas, her transition, and all of that, and I'm completely okay with her having the opportunity to compete, because that would be a Title IX issue. But I think another thing with Title IX is that we have to be given time to accommodate, I guess you could say, whether that is creating a third division, a transgender division, or whatever.
Hmm.
No, you easily solve it. Biological males, biological females. I would disagree with him on that.
Right.
No.
But it's
unfair.
As an athlete, all
biological males are not the same.
You're right. And I wasn't about to make that football team in Del Rio, Texas. I can tell you that. We're not all the same. You're right. And the whole thing is that he did compete.
With the men, yes.
He did.
Yes.
And he didn't do so successfully.
Sorry, life isn't fair.
Well, welcome to the club. You ever consider band? I mean, that was exactly what Coach Valdez said to me. Hey, pretty much, you're not going to make the team. He was very sweet about it, but you know, all your friends are in band. I know you love music. You ever consider band? Okay. And the whole idea is that, and I knew this, and look, I played on some non-school leagues, you know, on like the Air Force Base where we lived near Del Rio, Laughlin, and played basketball and baseball on base. And Nate Bargatze, the stand-up comedian, makes a joke about him playing basketball. He said, I wasn't good enough to play at school, but I could play at church on the church team. Because everybody got to play on the church league. And same thing on the Air Force Base League. All the kids got to play. It was one of those types of leagues. And I ended up doing okay, actually.
I played in a church league. I played in a CYO team, but I played in one of the best CYO teams in New York State. I mean, they could have beaten probably half of the high school teams. And he didn't cut because he didn't have to cut. We had 28 people start out at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
He started practice in August.
Right.
By November, we had four people left.
Yeah.
And we got three. That's how hard he worked you. There were, I think there were a couple of people off of my team that played, you know, three or four that played college basketball.
Right, right.
You know, it just wasn't a church league. It was extremely competitive. CYO back then was extremely competitive back in the 60s and 70s.
Right, right.
Many of those teams could beat high school teams. So it wasn't an insult, but I couldn't make – I was just too small. I just couldn't make the
– Right, yeah. Well, it's like me with basketball. I mean, we did actually pretty well in the base league, but you had enough kids to make enough teams, right? And it wasn't that kind of tryouts. Like it would be for school, which is a different kind of competition. And I knew my brother in baseball as a pitcher, one of my brothers was outstanding, unbelievable. And I knew how great he was the day the local newspaper showed up to do an article on him. And he threw out his arm, unfortunately, in high school, and he didn't get to, you know, go on from there. But I knew that it wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to be an athlete long term. And I was okay with that. I knew what my limitations were. And I also knew that if I really wanted to do something, like if I wanted to pursue basketball, then it was going to take work. And if I wanted to get better, it was going to take discipline. You know, and so that's what's required. I don't care how you want to live your life. You want to live your life, that's one thing. But this movement of saying that men can compete in women's sports has to end. Because otherwise, women's sports is over. It's done.
We've been warning this for over a decade.
Yep. We knew it was going to happen. And
people are surprised that we're here now. And we're like, nope. We told you this was going to happen.
Right.
We're the first ones that predicted that the liberal transgender activist movement would be the end of liberal feminism.
Yes.
And we were right.
There was no way it wasn't going to end this way.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. If you would like to get in, yes. I mean the trans issue is just one of the issues, because the overall topic we were talking about was the shift in young people, the incredible shift, and that's why we suggest, if you want to look at it, look at the civics poll, and you can find it yourself, and then you can compare it to what Trump was doing. And when you see that the low right now for Biden is lower than Trump ever was with young people, and you see that as of yesterday, I didn't check it today, but with Democrats between 18 and 34 years of age, only 47% support for Biden. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are just record low numbers. Is it just Biden, the question is, or is it what Biden represents across the board with, as we call it, the fascist liberalism that exists today?
Well, I think there's probably a lack of confidence in the man, for sure. And that's growing more and more. But I think there, a lot of it is about the agenda and the left and how, and what the agenda has done, the effects of the agenda implemented as policy. And that is, I think, in part what we're seeing in these polls. The erosion at civics is clear, and it's happening in almost every subcategory for when you break down demographics. That's unbelievably bad for this president.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90 Red Eye. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Download our Red Eye Radio app today and listen 24/7, 365 to our show, which is our podcast, and our podcast, which is our show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had mentioned the Rasmussen reports polling that was done on the Democrats' voting bill, and 50% of people were happy, of likely voters were happy that the bill did not pass. Only 32% were unhappy that it did not pass. The other 18%,
oh no.
And we stated that's 18 points. That's a landslide number. It means they could not convince. They weren't convincing the American people, because when you have 32% of people, that means those are the radical left in this country.
Yeah.
Which is probably, you know, it is the entire party as to the rank and file. That would make up about probably 60% of the party, 60 or 70% of the party, which would be about what you would expect, because they're radical left, because they believe that they have radical left support.
Right.
So that isn't out of line with what we would expect. The 50% and the 50% that are happy that didn't pass, and the 18-point difference shows that they didn't convince independents.
Right.
And so that's a huge problem. Everything from democracy is going to end, and you and I talked about Leonard Larry, Charlemagne the God, the liberal, well-known liberal talk show host out there, who was saying, yeah, I've talked to people, and they're saying that why not Trump? At least we knew where he stood. Biden promises all these things and nothing ever happens. They just don't buy into it.
Right.
And so you see that, and we've had a great discussion on that. The other point of the Rasmussen poll, do you agree with this statement, the media are truly the enemy of the people? That comes from Trump. That verbiage comes from Trump. Remember that. You know, the media is the enemy of the people, and then the media went crazy Oh, right. My.
Right.
And as we said, well, when they lie to you, are they your friend? You can debate whether enemy is the correct word to use. We decided to rephrase it in a different way. If they lie to you and don't tell you the truth, is the media your friend? If they're not your friend, then you can decide how you wish to label them. Well, in this, do you agree or disagree with the statement the media are truly the enemy of the people? Agree. Whites, 56%.
Wow.
Say that the media are truly the enemy of the people. Blacks, 63% believe the media are truly the enemy of the people. Other non-whites, 60% believe that the media are truly the enemy of the people. Democrats, 37% believe the media are truly the enemy of the people. Independents, 61% believe that the media are truly the enemy of the people. 76% of the GOP believes that the media are truly the enemy of the people. All voters, 58% of voters agree that the media are truly the enemy of the people. The reason you get to that point to extrapolate out more on that is just to look at what the NBC president said.
Hmm.
The NBC News president, Noah Oppenheim, granted an interview to Tom Jones, this is from newsbusters.org, of the Liberal Pointer Institute to talk about the news business. Here's what Oppenheim said about NBC's objectivity, the news division. NBC News proper as a whole, everything that falls under the NBC News umbrella, even though they're not over MSNBC, as we know, you have, what's his name, who was on both, Meet the Press and also MSNBC, Chuck Todd.
Chuck Todd. Mm-hmm.
Is on both.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we ferociously are defending the idea that it's possible to hold the middle ground and be objective and nonpartisan. That is our mission. This is why people view the news media as the enemy of the people. Why the majority of people do. Everyone knows that's a lie.
Yeah, they're either lying or they are smoking something.
Right. That's the president of NBC News. We're ferociously defending the idea that it's possible to hold the middle ground and to be objective and nonpartisan. That is our mission.
Well, okay, let me split some hairs here. It's possible to do that, and then that is our mission. Well, yeah, it is possible. And that may be your mission. The question is, are you actually doing it?
That's why, yeah, because they're not.
They're not doing it.
No, they're not. That's why I can say that. That's why I can comfortably say they're lying. Look, we've said it.
And by the way, that isn't their mission. Because if
no,
because the first part is right. It is possible, but that's not your mission. And if you wanted to do that, you could do it. They don't want and haven't wanted to do that for a long time.
Are you ready? When we go and we interview a national figure, whether it's Vice President Harris or if it had been Vice President Pence 3 years ago, we're going to go into each one of those interviews with the exact same mentality.
No, you're not. No, you're not. By the way, why did they choose those two? Why wouldn't they have chosen, for that example, why wasn't it Biden or Trump?
Here's what he also said. I still believe in that old school approach to journalism and being just as tough on both sides and looking for truth and facts. Our mission is to illuminate and not advocate.
No, no. We can go back to the NBC interview. Lester Holt and Trump, when it came to during the Trump administration, when it came to the interview about James Comey. How many times did you talk to James Comey? Three times. Was it three times? It was rapid fire. Remember, this Lester Holt had this rapid fire approach with Trump. Three times. You say it was three times. Was it in person? Was over the phone? Was it? And Trump was answering the question. Turns out, months later, James Comey on Capitol Hill. How many times did you talk to the president? Three times. And the point being is that that was the approach and is the approach at NBC that we're going to go after you. By the way, we're okay. Chuck Todd's predecessor on Meet the Press. That is, I'm absolutely okay with you being devil's advocate if you do that every time, and it doesn't matter who's sitting across from you, but that's not what's being done, at least until recently when Chuck Todd talked about the how harsh the polls were for Biden. And then he was accused of being a Trump supporter, Chuck Todd. But they don't treat both sides equally. That's hogwash, and everybody knows it.
Well, and that's why, again, as we've stated before, we've had people that have said, you know, I love your guy's show because you're right down the middle. Well, we're not.
We're not.
I mean, and we correct people when they say that. We're not.
Our opinion is not down the middle, but we don't have a problem criticizing anyone, even if we vote for them.
Right. And the other point is we tell people, look, we're conservative libertarian. Mm-hmm. That's what we believe. And we'll go through every topic and tell you exactly what we believe and why we believe it. And we don't want to argue or debate things, or we're not going to defend something that we believe is untrue. We're not going to sit there and say, okay, let's take an opinion on something that we know is not true. And that's the difference. When you, as a media outlet, tell people what you are and you are not, you don't even need to get to the story that you're covering when people know that you're lying about what you're selling them
right.
to begin with.
Right. You know, this is the thing. If you look at the method used by Tim Russert, and we go back to him because I don't know anybody that's actually using the method that he did on a regular basis. Are there people capable of doing it? Yeah. Do they do it sometimes? A few people in the media do that. But he did it every Sunday morning, and he would basically say, you know, okay, here's what you said a month ago. Now you're saying something different. Explain that. And it didn't matter who he was sitting across from. Because in a free society, real journalism has an important, very important, critical role. But tell me where that real journalism is.
By the way, when you said predecessor, after Tim Russert, remember it was David Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when David Gregory said, oh, I'm going to follow exactly what Tim Russert said.
Yeah,
and we said at the time, we said, no, he's not.
No, it was, we knew, and it was, it was highly unfortunate. His passing was sad, but it was also unfortunate, because it was the end of that kind of practice on that program. We knew it was going to be. And it was, you know, also the end, because, you know, by all accounts, he was a blue collar Democrat.
Yeah, I mean,
Tim Russert.
Yeah, Tim Russert. I mean, I interviewed him a couple of times, and when he wrote his book about growing up in Buffalo, he grew up basically in South Buffalo, where you had at that time you still have more. It's a Democrat city, but you still have moderate Democrats. They actually do exist. I'm talking about the rank and file.
Yeah.
And even some of the politicians, Democrats, have a streak of moderate still in them. The former mayor, Jimmy Griffin, back in the 80s and 90s, was extremely conservative.
Oh, yeah.
He was a Democrat. So Russert came from that conservative Democrat, as my family originally did.
Yeah.
My grandfather on my father's side was a Democrat and was a Democrat in the town that I grew up in, and he became a Democrat because he immigrated from Canada, and he came to the town. It was completely Republican. He said, well, there needs to be two. If I'm coming to America, there needs to be two parties. But he would, as I asked my, I never got to talk to my grandfather about politics, but my father, I said, would he have been a Democrat today? And he goes, no. He goes, Roe v. Wade would have changed him, where the Democratic Party was at that point. So my grandfather was extremely conservative.
Yeah, right.
My grandfather, from what I was told, didn't like unions. He thought unions were extremely non-productive and actually hurt companies. In fact, he actually had his own machine shop and was working for a union shop that was so bad that he actually opened up his own machine shop, competed against them, and took a ton of their business because he, as a solo person, was more effective in producing the product than the place that was union. Mm. And he said, look, if you want to belong to a union, fine. Mm-hmm. But it creates inefficiencies in there that I, as a solo person, could beat. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that's the kind of Democrat that existed at that point, and that was really part of Tim Russert. And Tim Russert talked about his father and said that. But when Tim Russert wrote his book, I actually sent him an email and said, what a great book, because you grew up the exact same life that I did, a couple of years ahead of me, but about 10 miles from me.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote me back. Great conversation back and forth.
Yeah.
That day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Sunday. Mm. So he had done Meet the Press. And I wrote to him it was about 10 o'clock or something. I just sent him an email. Hey, great book. Everything else. Grew up in Buffalo. Just a couple of sentences. Next thing you know, he's writing me back, like probably right after he got off Meet the Press.
Maybe while he was still on the air.
He might have been going, the show's boring me today. Who do we got on today? So that probably, I'm going to guess, was like 2004, 2005 when he wrote the book.
Mm.
Something like that about, growing up and, what his basically political influences, were.
Well, and without real journalism, then you have essentially, what you have now. A bunch of people with opinions, which is fine, but don't call it journalism.
No.
I don't care if they have opinions. You and I are paid. We're not journalists. We're here to issue our opinions. And if they want to do that, that's fine. I don't care. But don't pretend. I don't care who you are. A reporter or the president of NBC. Don't lie. That's not your mission, because you could accomplish that. If that were your mission, if that's your mission, why haven't you fired a bunch of people?
Exactly. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This is the Marketplace Minute. I'm Justin Ho. The stock market closed down on Tuesday. The Dow lost 0.2%. The S&P fell 1.2%. The NASDAQ dropped 2.3%. Manufacturer supply of semiconductor chips has been dwindling, according to a new survey from the Commerce Department. It found that in 2019, manufacturers typically had 40 days' worth of chips on hand. Last year, that fell to 5 days. The global economy will grow at a slower rate than expected this year, according to a new forecast from the International Monetary Fund. It says that's thanks in part to the fact that Congress hasn't passed President Biden's social spending package, and because China's zero-tolerance COVID policy is disrupting the economy there. Consumer confidence dropped in January, according to a survey from the Conference Board. That said, more people are planning on making big purchases, like cars, appliances, and even homes. I'm Justin Ho with the Marketplace Minute.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Coming up, inflation, how bad is it? Price of products manufactured in the U.S. Central Atlantic region rose in January at the fastest annual pace recorded in data that stretches back 25 years. We'll have the specifics on that. And this in here, because it happened last night, San Jose City Council held a final vote Tuesday to turn a proposal it previously passed into law requiring gun owners in the city to carry insurance and pay a fee. The Associated Press reported the previous vote was held on June 30th 2021. The proposal includes two requirements for gun owners that no city or state in the United States has ever implemented: the purchase of liability insurance and the payment of annual fees to fund violence reduction initiatives. The San Jose mayor wrote in an op-ed piece with the LA Times last week. Yes, they expect a flurry of lawsuits against this.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And I think they'll win that. With the current makeup of the Supreme Court, if it gets to the Supreme Court, they're going to win that. The people challenging the law will win that. Because man, you can break that down in so many ways. Then what couldn't they require you to get insurance for in terms of perceived risks and dangers in your home? My gosh, the list is everywhere. And I mean specific insurance for those items beyond homeowners insurance.
Well,
the
mayor's argument, while gun rights advocates argue that gun owners should not have to pay a fee to exercise their constitutional right to bear arms, Second Amendment does not require the taxpayers to subsidize folks who own guns. Well, they don't.
Nobody's
paying for guns. If somebody uses a gun, it's not the gun, it's somebody who uses a gun.
Right.
And in a criminal activity.
Right.
That's the problem, not the owner, a legal owner of a gun.
Right.
Show is a trial balloon. Wish us luck. Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. If you would like to get in to the show. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with that San Jose law. I'm interested to see the legal arguments that are brought from both sides. I expect, for example, one of the legal arguments you'll see is, well, you drive a car and you have to have liability to drive a car.
Mm. You share the road with your car, you share the road with other people. And so there is a liability there, and liability insurance is required for that behavior on those roads. And it's very different if you're a homeowner and you've got a gun in your home. And you can sit here and break this down all day on the fee and the insurance required. Because again, then you could say, all right, you have this, item here, and we're going to require special insurance on this item and this item and this item and this item. And while homeowners' policies do have special consideration based on things like swimming pools and the other items in the house, it isn't specific on coverage for those items, and that's the difference. And it basically, I mean, we all know what's going on here, and it is the left trying to do everything they can to limit lawful gun ownership. And it's not going to affect the bad guys. You know, the gangs and criminals, they don't abide by the law anyway. They're not going to be paying a fee. They're not going to be paying insurance. Not going to happen.
Well, and that's the other point, too. You can make the great case that very few of the murders that exist are people that have registered guns.
Right.
The vast majority of crimes are committed by those who use it illegally.
Right. Right. That own the gun illegally, that are not a legal gun owner up until that criminal act. The vast majority of them fit that profile. Right.
And your liability insurance protects you from being in an accident, but you are in the behavior, because I believe this will be part. What I'm doing is just what we're doing here is just showing what possible legal arguments would be.
Mm-hmm.
Every day you're driving your car.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You're not using your gun. You're not shooting your gun every day at somebody.
Well, it's
in fact, you're in fact 99.999999% of people never shoot their gun at another person.
Well, you're participating in really it's a group participation. Driving your car because you're sharing the road with other people. That's very different than simply owning a gun.
Exactly.
And by the way, it's not required. The insurance is on cars is not required to simply own the car. It's if you're going to drive that car on the streets. I could have a, an old, 1970 Ford sitting in my garage. They can be sitting there forever. I don't have to keep insurance on it. If I'm going to drive it and participate in that group behavior,
no, that's a great, that
would, I have to have that liability.
That's a great legal point.
And if you own the gun in this case, you have to have the mm-hmm. insurance.
Or if I'm going to it's not just of the gun. If I'm going to be shooting the gun every day at somebody else,
right,
which is where the liability would come in,
right. And that's it. It's a much different type of behavior. You could have a the owner of a gun range could say, look, you need to have a certain liability if you're going to come here and you're going to practice at our gun range or whatever, something like that. That's a private policy that they could put into place. We can have the debate as to whether that's a good idea in terms of policy and practice in business. But when the government, in this case, the city government, says you have to pay a fee to own this, just to own it, just to possess this, and you have to have insurance just to own it. It doesn't even, we're not even talking about the behavior with that item. We're talking simply about the ownership, possession of that item.
And where the mayor said that the Second Amendment doesn't require the public to subsidize the right to own a gun, and we said, well, there is no subsidizing for owning a gun.
No.
If they're trying to make the case, because then somebody will say, well, there's no right because, for example, you need to get a permit and have insurance if you're going to hold a big rally somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not for the free speech portion of it.
That's about the group behavior.
That's about the group behavior and
the liability of the property.
The liability of the property. And when a big group gets together, you know, anything that the permit would require, the cleanup. Cleanup, everything else. So therefore, to get this permit, you need to have insurance or you need to have whatever, pay a particular fee because you're going to be using at that point as a group. But the insurance or whatever fee you pay is not for the actual free speech. It's for the gathering together. It's the behavior that may come with that right.
Yes.
So if you're not ever enacting that behavior that comes with the right, why do you need to pay the insurance?
Exactly.
The same thing as if you said, if your car is in the garage, you're not paying liability insurance. It's only when you act in that behavior. Because the behavior of driving is what costs, which creates the cost. If your car is sitting in the garage, there is no cost being created by the possibility of you getting in an accident. By you actually owning a gun, the behavior that costs the public is shooting that gun at somebody else.
The car in the garage isn't going to hurt somebody else, so that liability doesn't exist until you take that car and behave in a public way and share the road with others. That's what liability insurance is, that you have to show that you can be liable if you're at fault and you damage somebody else's person or property. And that's not the case simply by owning the car. That's about the behavior with the car. This would be, not would be, it is required simply for owning the gun. Because I don't know what the stats are, but in terms of legal gun owners, I don't know what the stats are that how many of them percentage-wise ever have to take their gun in when they're in their home and defend themselves. I would say the percentage is pretty low, though. I think we can safely say that. Well, the people who own cars, when you drive a car in public, when you drive a car in the streets, you're participating in a group behavior. That liability increases because, again, of the nature of the mechanical situation with a car, which can break down without warning to you, even with proper maintenance, and a number of items where, again, that car and you driving that car, whether it's because of operator error or mechanical failure or anything else, it becomes a liability potentially and a danger to others who are doing the same, to others and their property. Simply owning a gun, simply owning a car, isn't a liability to others. It's what you do with it. Owning a gun isn't the liability. It's what you do with it.
Just like a car.
Yes.
The liability does not come with owning the vehicle.
Right.
It comes with driving the vehicle.
Exactly. It's the behavior.
Right. So let's quickly go to Doug in Franklin, Tennessee. Doug, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I just was going to make a comment. I don't hear a lot of stuff on any of the news media about there are approximately 300 to 400 million firearms held by private law-abiding citizens in the United States. Once in a while, we have someone who uses a gun to commit serial killings, all that kind of stuff. Almost invariably, those guns are illegally held. But what never comes up is, depending on which polls you read, between 1.5 and 3 million incidents yearly occur with honest, law-abiding citizens with firearms stopping major felonies. I know a lot of people myself who've actually had that happen. Home invasions, robberies, all sorts of stuff. The very fact they had a legally owned firearm stops the perpetrator. What would happen if you took all those firearms out of the good guy's hands? The criminals won't have any problem getting them.
Yeah, but that's not, you're not making a legal argument that will be used effectively by stating that, because liability is not using something, because you can make the case that there shouldn't be liability insurance for cars because cars are used for good. So, but the liability of a vehicle is when you use it, either you make a mistake or, you get in an accident is what the liability is there
for. Whatever reason.
Right. Now, the difference is here, they're saying the liability is because people use guns illegally, and therefore, if you own a gun legally, you should pay the liability for the damage that is caused. I understand your point, and your point is well taken.
On the moral issue, yes.
I don't see that as a legal issue coming up in this particular case, though.
Right.
Could be wrong. Maybe they will bring it up. Maybe they will. I don't know. I just, again, this is all top of the head because this is just breaking news that we got here at a little while ago. And so we decided to talk about the San Jose City Council, which has said we're going to require liability insurance for anybody to own a gun and a fee. You must pay a fee, which then goes to the victims of gun violence. Hmm. The fee I can see being gone immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's no way, because in essence, what they're saying is, to me, that's a civil, basically, you know, because you can file a civil suit. That is your recourse.
Right.
And what they're saying is, no, if you legally own something, then you are responsible before the civil suit's even filed to create a fund take care of people that are victims of gun violence, which means illegal gun violence.
Well, the thing is that, it puts the person who was not responsible, the people who are not responsible for those victims and what happened to them. They have to be financially responsible. They have to pay for it anyway.
I think there's two separate arguments between the fee and the. I think both are
wrong.
I think both are legally wrong, but there's two separate arguments there.
Right.
Legal arguments.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Will be interesting to see the first lawsuit that's filed on there. I would assume many of the things that we have stated will come up. But, again, what the city council did in San Jose by stating you have to, if you're a gun owner, you have to pay liability insurance and a fee is political. I'm going to love to see that. That's not a legal defense that they're making. I'm going to love to see the legal defense that actually comes from the city. They know the lawsuits are coming.
Well, because we could say then because domestic abuse happens, then you should, if you're a, and the majority of it is from the male, then if you are a male, in a relationship,
living in the same house,
living in the same household, you should have to have insurance and pay a fee. Even if you don't do that, you're going to have to do that because you're simply because you're a male, and that's where the violence comes from. Even if you're not responsible for it, the responsible gun owners, the lawful gun owners, are not responsible for what happened to the shooting victims.
And you can make the same argument. Look at the cost to society, because that's what they're doing here.
Yes.
Look at the cost to society of domestic abuse that primarily, not all the time, but primarily is the perpetrator is the man.
Right.
The victim is the woman.
Right.
And so the cost of all women shelters, everything that exists out there in a particular city, if you're a man in a relationship or you live with a woman.
Right.
A marriage penalty also. Could you see that too?
Yeah, right.
Marriage or cohabitate, then you must pay liability insurance and a fee.
Right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.